Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on cancer is a racket right after this. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools or banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're even teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national consciousness. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America, at least, that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, this law works automatically. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, and it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about cancer is a racket. It's not the only racket out there. There's a number of other neat government-sponsored rackets like public school, insurance, and the military-industrial complex. But at least from the military-industrial complex, we get some real hardware. We can actually look at nuclear submarines and aircraft carriers. That's what our tax dollars are buying and paying for. Cancer, on the other hand, we got a lot of statistics, but we don't get much in the way of hardware. We get to pay for it. We pay for it. $500 billion a year, $500 billion a year. That's as much as we spend on public education. And again, at least with public education, we got something to show for it. We can actually see school buildings and books. It may not be the smartest kid, but at least we've got some hardware to show for our money. But with cancer, and indeed with the entire medical profession, we don't have anything to actually show. Now, there have been some successes, and I don't deny that. We can actually identify, as I did in the last program, some cause and effect relationships with disease. You know, scurvy. Well, how many people are suffering from scurvy? A vitamin C deficiency. That's not a cash cow. We'll give you vitamin C and cure your scurvy and show you how brilliant allopathic medicine is. We'll cure the rickets and beriberi. And we'll cure pneumonia. But when it comes to the big degenerative diseases, heart attack, stroke, cancer, boy, those are sacred cows that are worth a lot of money. And those we cannot figure out. We cannot understand what causes cancer. It's the last time I showed you what the cause was. And where you can go in the Bible to find out, well, here's what causes disease. Now, there are about 20 of these diseases and plagues and causes of sickness that are revealed in the Bible. In fact, there's 18 health laws in the Bible. These 18 health laws tell you how to stay healthy. If you want to save money on your health care insurance, you practice these 18 laws and you don't need health care insurance. Now, that's a real savings. That's where to make money. I don't have any health care insurance and I don't want any. Don't need it. Haven't been sick for 30 years. And if I got sick in the morning, if I had cancer in the morning, I'd treat it myself. If I had heart disease or heart problems, I'd treat it myself. Number one, I want to avoid it, and I know how to avoid it, and so I'm going to do that, number one. But what if I slip up? What if I make a mistake? Something I didn't anticipate, and I come down with some kind of a disease. What do I do to solve that problem? Well, the first thing I need to learn how to do is to self-diagnose. Excuse me, but if a doctor You can go down to Barnes & Noble and buy a physician's desk reference. Can you say physician's desk reference, boys and girls? If your medical doctor can go down to Barnes & Noble and buy one of those, could you do that? I mean, I know it's kind of a wild new concept, but could you do that? Last time I heard, they weren't against the law. I know they don't want you to go down and buy lateral, but I think you can still get the PDR, that's the physician's desk reference. Now, you go down and get one, and you open it up. It's in alphabetical order, and you're looking for symptoms over here. So you listen to these symptoms, and then it'll reference these symptoms, and it'll tell you that this is the disease that you've got. Now, that's all the doctor really does. He listens to your story, and you tell him, well, here's what happens, like a lawyer. And then the lawyer goes over here, and he applies your symptoms. He applies your story to the law, and he comes up and says, okay, here's your defense. That's what the doctor's doing. So if the doctor can do that, I can do it. And then I do. So the first thing I need to do is I need to identify what it is that's wrong with me. Now, when I told you the story, remember a little earlier here about gout? My wife is the one that told me, hey, dummy, you got gout. You're eating too much meat. You got protein toxicity. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what complicated. I jumped off the back of the green truck, and it's about, 3 or 4 feet off the ground. And I hurt my ankle when I did it. Now, I'd already been eating a lot of meat, and I already had the gout. But when I jumped off the truck, it triggered it. So I said, well, I think I got a broken ankle. So I went into the doctor. He took 2 x-rays. He looked at it. He says, no, there's no broken bone there. Now, he didn't know about gout. We didn't get into, well, I'm eating a lot of meat. So the doctor said, well, what's wrong with it? I'll give you a prescription for painkiller. Doctors are drug dealers. They sell drugs. Now, if Bob is selling drugs down in the corner, he's called a drug dealer. A doctor that's selling drugs, he's called a physician. The doctor has a license to sell drugs. Bob down on the street corner doesn't. The doctor who is selling drugs kills 130,000 people a year. Bob down on the street corner only kills 6,000. Drugs kill people, but cocaine, heroin, marijuana only kill 6,000 people a year. Medical doctors kill 130,000 a year, and that's what they admit to. I would say that the medical doctor is a greater threat to your health, safety, and welfare than the drug dealer down on the street corner. And we're spending billions of dollars a year to stamp out and to eradicate these street drugs. I don't know why. They're less dangerous than the pharmaceutical drugs that you buy at Rexall. Kill fewer people. But you've got it in your mind that we've got to stamp out these illegal drugs. Well, if illegal drugs kill 6,000 a year and legal drugs kill 130,000 a year, that's 136,000 people a year dying from drugs. Has it ever occurred to us that maybe we shouldn't take any drugs at all? None. Zero. Zilch. And if we eliminated drugs, we could eliminate 6,000 illegal drug deaths and 130,000 legal drug deaths. We could save 136,000 people a year by eliminating drugs. Now, I know somebody's going to write me an email and say, oh my God, those drugs are saving millions of lives. Then millions of people would die because they don't have drugs. Excuse me. Your logic is haywire, Bob. You see, if you didn't have drugs, you wouldn't have any doctors because the doctors wouldn't have anything to sell. That's what they sell, is drugs. So if the doctors didn't have any drugs to sell, there wouldn't be any doctors. So if there wasn't any doctors, then what would you do? Oh my God, we'd all die from our diseases. Wait a minute. I already showed you what the cause of disease was. That's in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. It's broken law. Every disease that you've got, Bob, you caused, you created it. You stuck that in your mouth, or you didn't stick it in your mouth, and you should have. Now I'm going to show you that there's 18 of these health laws. If you practice these 18 health laws, you don't need health insurance. See how simple that is? Then, if you violate one of these health laws, and you do get diseased, there's a cure for it. When we go back to doing whatever it is that we need to do from the physician's desk reference. Come on, now wake up. You got scurvy. The physician desk reference says, here are the symptoms for scurvy. And sure enough, you've got these symptoms. Now you look over here at the answer and it says you've got scurvy. What's the answer? Vitamin C. Now if you can do that for one disease, could you do that for 449 other diseases? Well, of course you could. Wake up and smell the coffee here, Bob. And you can do it and save $10,000 a year and you don't need to have health insurance. I know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton want to give us health insurance. Well, they got a point. If you're going to continue to break these laws, you need health insurance. If you're going to smoke and drink alcohol to excess, if you're going to eat white sugar and white flour down at Winchell's Donut House, by God, I wouldn't deny it. I think you do need health insurance. And I think you ought to buy and pay for your own. I don't want to buy and pay for it for you. That just goes to show you how selfish I am. Let's take a look at disease, sickness, and plague. Exodus 15, verses 23 through 26 gives us the initial opener here on disease, sickness, and plague. Let's just take a look here at Exodus chapter 15, starting in verse 23. It says, and when they came to Marah, they couldn't drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, M-A-R-A-H. And the people murmured against Moses, and they said, well, what shall we drink? So Moses cried unto the Eternal, and the Eternal showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said to them, he said, now, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight, he will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, because I'm the Eternal that healeth thee. Now that tells you the answer to that riddle. If you'll practice all of these health laws, then God will put none of these diseases upon you. And that tells you the other half of the coin, the other half of the story here. You know, flip the coin over, you get the back side here, you get tails. It is God, the Creator, that puts these diseases upon you, and he puts them upon you for the violation of these 18 health laws. Can you follow that? Well, let me give you another illustration. In Philadelphia in 1918, they had the flu epidemic. It was called the Spanish flu. Now, the health professionals knew about quarantine, but they had a big parade scheduled for a couple of days away. Should they cancel the parade, which was going to raise a lot of money for war bonds, remember this is during World War I, or should we cancel this parade and lose that money? So they decided, well, we won't cancel the parade, but if we don't cancel the parade, then we're going to be exposing these people to all of the people that have these diseases, this flu. So they all knew about quarantine, and they all knew that they ought to be practicing quarantine, but they didn't want to lose the money, so they went ahead and held the parade. 5 days later, the flu broke out in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philadelphia was the hardest hit city with the Spanish flu in the United States during the flu epidemic. They brought it upon themselves. One of the health laws is that you have to practice quarantine when there's a plague running around. That law came from God. We didn't want to follow that law, and so we got the plague put upon us. Now, that doesn't mean that God went out and said, hey, you come over here, let me slap you across the face with some Spanish flu plague. Now you've got it. No, no. See, what happened was here, we had a series of laws, 18 health laws, and we said, we're not going to practice this law called quarantine. We're not going to put a mask over our mouths. And we didn't. And Philadelphia got it the worst. Just cause and effect. Nothing more, nothing less. Cancer is just cause and effect. But you need to remember that the Spanish flu is a creation. It was created by God Almighty. Cancer is a creation. It was created by God Almighty. Did that during creation week. And it's there to punish you for the violation of these laws. Now, if we knew what these laws were, and if we could put these laws into practice, then we could avoid the disease. Now, that's defense number one. Let's try that. Blood. We're instructed in the Scripture not to eat blood. Now, we're smarter than God, and so we eat blood sausage. And we're smarter than God. Hell, we don't just eat it. We mainline it. We donate blood out of our bodies to the Red Cross, and then we go to the hospital, and they stick that blood, somebody else's blood, into our veins. Okay. Did you know that there are blood-borne diseases? Now, I've never had a blood-borne disease. I've never had a transfusion, and I'm going to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, if you want to take transfusions, and you want to eat blood sausage, and you want to violate this law, it's in Leviticus 3:17. It says you shall eat no manner of blood. Now, you know, you don't have to be real smart to figure out that if you're not supposed to eat blood, that is, you know, no manner of blood, what is it about no that you're having a problem with? Is it the beginning, the middle, or the end? And so here in America, you know, we say, well, I'm not eating the blood, I'm taking a transfusion. Well, okay, go ahead. But if you'll take a look here at what happened to all the hemophiliacs in America after they took blood transfusions and they synthesized it down, you know, to control their hemophilia, they got AIDS. Now they're all wiped out. And we've solved our hemophilia problem with the AIDS epidemic. And so there it is in Leviticus 3:17. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 11 scriptures in the Bible that tell you not to eat blood. 11. 11 places. I'm not going to bore you here by quoting them all. I just want to point out, just write one down. Leviticus 3, verse 17. There's your blood statute. Disease, sickness, and plague. Exodus 15, verses 23 through 26. And that'll answer that question for you. Let's try another one. Cattle. Leviticus 19:19. God tells you not to crossbreed cattle. Why not? It causes disease. Causes sickness. Told us not to do it. We're smarter than God. We're so smart we can breed cattle and buffalo, sheep and goats. Hell, we can even clone them now. Well, okay. Okay. You're real smart and you can do these things. It violates a law, very basic law of biogenesis. Now, the master here, the master biologist told you not to do that, and so you go out and do it, and then you end up with a disease. You'll see this in Leviticus 19, verse 19. Or worse yet, you cause somebody else to come down with this disease, like mad cow disease. You know, we got to feed and bypass protein to our cattle, and that's because we didn't practice land Sabbaths, and our protein content and our wheat and grains went from 24% down to below 17%, in some cases down as low as 7%. cows can't milk on protein with less than 17%, so you have to boost that up. So some wise guy, you know, some scientist, went to college somewhere, got letters and degrees after his name, said, hell, we can create protein. Let's take the protein that we're throwing away out of our slaughterhouses. Let's take the blood. Let's take the offal. Let's dry it, grind it up, and stick it into our dairy feeds. And we did, and we came down with a thing called mad cow disease. And it's called Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease in humans. Well, okay, and you're real smart. This is what we call an iatrogenic disease. You know, we cause these diseases ourselves. And that's because we violate law. Now, sin is a transgression of the law. And so I opened the series and I said, you know, if you evolve from green algae and there is no God and you're a cosmic accident, health is predicated upon luck, just random chance and caprice. If, on the other hand, you were created, there is an engineer, there is a designer out there, and he created all of this, then that isn't an accident. It's done by design. It's created. It's predictable. It's not caprice. We can actually predict it. When you go to childbirth, Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8, it tells you about childbirth. Childbirth can get to be fatal. You know, childbirth is kind of a serious event in life, and there's a statute here on childbirth, and if you practice this law over here, you can avoid a lot of problems. And if you don't, well, then there's problems that will probably derive therefrom. So we've got the cattle law, the childbirth law, we've got the plague, sickness, and disease law, and the blood law. There's four. Let's try another one. Circumcision. I mentioned this to you last time. Did you know that Jews don't get penile cancer? Now, you know, there's other reasons for circumcision other than health. God, the Creator now, can actually do two or three things with the same parameters or within the same parameters. Circumcision covers two or three of these parameters. One of them just happens to be health. Men who are circumcised rarely, if ever, come down with penile cancer. Whether you're a Christian, a Protestant, a Jew, a Muslim, can make any difference. Now, those people who practice circumcision have very little penile cancer. In fact, in the 20th century, three cases were reported among the Jews. Three. Well, you know, statistically, that's a non-event. They're so unusual that all three times they made the American Journal of Medicine, the AMA, JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. All right, so there's a health law, and it's in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 4, in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, there's a law in here that deals with clean and unclean meat. Now, down in Louisiana, they got a real problem with this. And you'll find this in Leviticus 11, verses 1 through 47. Leviticus 11, verses 1 through 47. For instance, just as a for instance here, it's against the law to eat blood, fat, and pig. Pig has 50% fat, 50% lean. Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage tastes real good. But you can't digest pork very well, and when you do digest pork and take a blood sample right after you've eaten pork, you'll test positive for cancer. Did you know that? Did it ever occur to you people that maybe eating pork causes cancer? That doesn't mean that only pork causes cancer, because we know that smoking also causes cancer, but it is one of many causes of cancer. Did it ever occur to you that not only do you have to give up smoking to prevent lung cancer, but maybe you have to give up pig to prevent colon cancer? I mean, I just throw it out for your consideration. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe God knew what he was talking about? In most cases, the answer to that's no. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention so that you could consider it. I'm not opposed to eating pig. I honest to God believe that if God made anything better than a pig to eat, he kept it for himself. But I quit eating pig in my own self-interest because he told me that I didn't have enough intestines to digest it. I don't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest it. And so I gave it up and quit. All right, copulation. Did you know that a man's semen is highly toxic? Oh, that's a nasty stuff. That's highly toxic. Necessary. It's imperative for reproduction. But there's a statute here in Leviticus 15, in the verses 16 through 18, and Leviticus 15, verse 32, that deals with the seed of copulation. Just wanted to let you know that it's an important law, and that if you violate that law, I mean, if you get this stuff in you, on you, or in the wrong place, you can become infected by it. Now, I'll show you why. Did you know that semen does not trigger your immune response? Did you know that? Because if it did, you see, the minute that it was introduced into a female's body, her body would reject it. Ladies, it does not reject it. And therefore, this semen, you know, is very toxic stuff. If you get it in your body, it ain't in the right spot. Ain't where it's made to go. You don't have any immune response to it, and it'll cause disease. Just wanted to let you know that. Dead men. Let's try to take a look at dead bodies. Did you know in Leviticus 21:1, Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4, Numbers 6, verses 6 through 11, just for openers, did you know it's against the law to touch a dead body? I mean, touch it. Right away somebody says, oh, what does the undertaker do? Well, he touches dead bodies. And then there's a solution to this undertaker who touches a dead body. He's called unclean until the evening. He has to shower. He has to wash himself very, very good, very well. Why? Well, because this dead body has disease pathogens. Let me give you an illustration. And when a doctor is doing an autopsy on a body, he has to touch the body. When a doctor is doing an autopsy on a patient that he believes has died from Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease or somebody that has Alzheimer's disease, did you know that 16% of the people who die from Alzheimer's have Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease? Yeah, 16%. Now, if a doctor suspects that, he will wear chain mail on his hands, a face mask, and a moon suit. Why? To protect himself from the disease. In Arkansas, if you die from AIDS, they require that you be buried in a lead-lined casket. That's to prevent that those microbes from getting into the soil, where later on they could leach out into the groundwater, which later on they could leach out and be consumed by somebody. I mean, you know, there's toxic stuff out there that you need to avoid. One of the health laws is don't touch dead men. There's a corollary that tells you don't touch dead, unclean animals. Now, you can touch, you can eat a dead cow. In fact, every time I have ever eaten cow, they have all been dead, every single one of them. So I only eat dead cows. And when I eat a dead cow, I have to touch him. You know, I pick up my rib, and I've got my hands right on this dead cow's rib, and I'm chomping down on the meat, and I'm just eating it up. And all right, now that's all right. You can touch those. But if you got a dead pig, a dead cow, a dead cat, don't touch it. They're full of disease. Disease. Now, somebody's going to say, well, I touched my dead dog, and I didn't get sick. Well, I smoked Camel Studs for 9 years, and I didn't get lung cancer. But the 9 years that I smoked, I was running that risk. And then there's 84 people out of 100 that aren't circumcised that don't get penile cancer, but 14 of them do. And if you're circumcised, none of you do. And so, you know, that'll help 14% of you. And while it's true, you can touch a dead body and you don't necessarily get sick, touching dead bodies puts you at risk, just like smoking cigarettes puts you at risk. If you want to take the risk, get after it. When you get to be old like me, you know, and say, well, I don't think I need to take that risk. All right, so we're up to dead men. Fats next. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and a biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about cancer. Cancer is a racket. And then it's a racket that the doctors knew or should have known how to advise you. Your preacher knows or should know how to advise you to avoid these diseases. They don't, but they should. Your government, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the Congress, the legislature, the governor, they should be enforcing these laws. They should be telling you, hey, wait a minute, we got laws out here, you violate these laws, and you end up with disease, you end up sick, you end up, and in many cases, they're withholding the information from you. And in fact, the presidential candidates are telling you what the solution is national health care insurance. National health care insurance is an infomercial for the American Medical Association to lock you into the allopathic healthcare system to make you a cash cow. I mean, after all, you're all paying the premiums. You all want to get your benefits. And so to get your benefits, you have to go to the allopathic physician and take his treatment, even though his treatment is going to kill you. Now, if that's what you want to buy, then, you know, get right after it. But there is an opposite to that. The opposite is called the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are supported by 759 statutes and judgments that go along with those commandments. And so here's your Creator tells you to avoid clean and unclean meats. He tells you what the difference is. Avoid unclean meat. Watch out for semen, the seed of copulation. Don't touch dead men. He advises you on cattle, advises you on childbirth. In other words, these advisories that he's giving you over here, this information concerning sickness, disease, and plague, and don't eat blood, and don't take transfusions, and so on, these are healthcare measures. I'm fully familiar with many people who have taken blood transfusions and didn't get AIDS. I'm also pointing out that many people did get blood transfusions, they did get AIDS, and they all died. People that get AIDS, they all die. Every one of them. Let's try fat. Leviticus 3:17. Now, we're all eating fat in our hamburger, 30% by law. God told you not to eat fat. Now, the biggest killer in America isn't cancer. Cancer is number two. The biggest killer is heart attack and stroke. Those two together are caused by the fat that we're eating in our hamburger, not primarily. Now, we have leprosy and other contagious diseases. These contagious diseases, you know, things like flu, there's a cause for that. And when you have these running issues, you have disease, you have sores on your body, you know, you have to deal with those, and you have to deal with them craftily. So, in Leviticus 13, verses 1 through 14, and in Deuteronomy 24, verses 8 and 9, give you a couple of statutes here, tells you how to deal with leprosy and other contagious diseases. And the priest, that is your preacher, he's the guy that should be teaching you this. He doesn't. He sends you to the allopathic medical doctor. Why doesn't he educate you? Why doesn't he say, listen, why don't you learn the law? Why don't I teach you the law, and then you can be just as knowledgeable as the allopath, and you can save $10,000 a year on health insurance. That's just for openers. You know, boys and girls, if you come down with cancer and you walk into the allopathic medical doctor, it's going to cost, on average, $100,000 for you to die over a period of 18 months while you go through chemotherapy. Well, you could save that $100,000. You could save that $10,000 a year for the next 10 years. That would put a little money in your pocket. And at the same time, you wouldn't get cancer. And if you did get cancer, you could treat it yourself. Did you know that? Do you ever stop about thinking about treating your own cancer, curing yourself? Now, there's another law here called menstruating women. When a woman menstruates, there's a fluid that issues out of her body, just like semen, the seed of copulation. Oh, that's powerful stuff. Oh, my God. Toxic. It's a killer. Full of disease, full of pathogens, full of all kinds of wicked, evil stuff. So here's God comes along and says, okay, now I created women, and I created this menstrual cycle, this reproduction process. I created semen. You know, I'm the guy that did that. But to his credit, he said, now let me tell you about this semen. Let me tell you about this menstrual fluid over here. It's highly toxic. It can cause disease. It can cause plague. It can cause bad stuff to happen. So here's what you got to do to take care of that. You got to keep clean, take a shower. And when this stuff gets on something over here, you need to treat it with special care. Got to treat it with special care. And he gives you some pretty good, you know, just ordinary, everyday garden variety sanitation advice. You know, sanitation. You know, it's kind of wipe your butt and then dispose of the toilet paper craftily. You know, if you wiped your hiney and then you got some of that feces on your clothes, wouldn't you be careful to wash that off, take your clothes off and put them in the dirty clothes? Don't you think you ought to do the same thing with that menstrual fluid? Now, unfortunately today, you know, we've got all kinds of showers, and, you know, in the modern world anyway, over here in the Western world, you know, we've got sanitary napkins, and we've got better ways to take care of it than people have had in a lot of times past in a lot of countries in the world today. But there's a law here, and I just thought I'd point that out to you. It's in Leviticus 15, verses 19 through 33, and it advises you ladies how to deal with this and tells all the rest of us, watch out for it. That's how simple that is. Okay, mingled seed. In Leviticus 19:19, we're told not to hybridize our seed. Now, we're smarter than God, so we're out here now GMOing the stuff. But hey, listen, that causes disease. It causes disease through nutritional deficiencies. Let me show you why. Let me show you how. There's a guy by the name of Adolf Steinbrom. And this guy, Steinbrom, he went out and he tested this one time. And he used, Steinbrom uses open pollinated seed, but he went out and bought a bunch of corn that was hybridized, hybrid corn. You know, the kind of stuff you buy down here at the local Walmart store. And they discovered that it was deficient in protein by 75%. It was deficient in copper by 875%. It was deficient in iron by 345%, and so on. Now, these deficiencies, when you don't get these trace elements and minerals, you get sick. And so God, you know, came along and said, I'm the creator of seed. And yes, you can hybridize seed. Yes, you can GMO seed. But don't do it, boys and girls, because you're going to get a product that is nutritionally deficient. It'll look good, it'll smell good, it'll taste good, but it's nutritionally deficient, and when you eat it over a period of time, you're going to get deficiency diseases. You know, things like scurvy, pellagra, rickets. Don't do it. So here's another hill flow. Quarantine. The thing that stopped the Spanish flu here in the United States and probably around the world was quarantine. There's one country in the world that practices quarantine. Just one. Cuba. Did you know that? Yeah, the Cubans practice quarantine. They quarantine all of their AIDS patients. Now, they're the only country in the world that does it. The United Nations is on their backs constantly. They're calling them all kinds of names. And, of course, we here in the United States, we're so damn smart, we don't practice quarantine anymore either. But during the Spanish flu epidemic, and I reported on the Spanish flu a couple programs back, and I said to you, I said, listen, this quarantine was used here in the United States, and all of the health food health professionals, not health food, no, the health professionals, back during the Spanish flu credited quarantine and masks as having stopped the plague. In Cuba, they have the lowest incidence of HIV/AIDS in the world, practicing quarantine. And in the countries where they don't practice quarantine, it is higher than Cuba's, and in some cases, it's the highest in the world. Botswana. And in South Africa, there's a little country down there called Botswana land, and they've got 36% of the population now infected with AIDS, 25% in South Africa. They don't practice quarantine like they do in Cuba. And so here's a health law. You know, if you just practice that health law, I do it here. I know that my government isn't going to quarantine the sickos out of society, so I have to quarantine myself. I have to avoid the sickos that are out there in society. Places an extra burden on me. But if I want to avoid sickness and disease, that's what I got to do. And I don't want to spend $10,000 a year on health insurance. I'm selfish and greedy. I'm just that way. So I pocket the $10,000 and I spend it on other things, you know, other crazy things that I probably don't need and shouldn't have, but things that I enjoy more, like gold and silver and wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, and, you know, travel, and one thing and another, gasoline. All right, so a running issue, another open infected wounds. In Leviticus 15, verses 1 through 16, and there's a story over here that deals with these running issues, infected wounds. You know, when you've got pus coming out of a wound, that's natural. That's what you want. You want that pus to drain out of that wound. I had cancer here recently, and it was on my jaw, about the size of a golf ball. So I put CanSema on it, and it killed it, and it melted it, and it became a running issue, a running sore with the pus, and it stank real bad. Oh, God, it was terrible. Okay, but that's the natural way for your body to heal itself. That's your immune system at work. If I'd gone to a doctor, he'd have said, oh my God, let's cut that out. And he would have cut it out. And then it would have metastasized and spread to some other portion in my body. As long as the tumor is right there in a lump, it's there. Okay, now you kill it. If you kill it with blood drip, you kill it with an herb, it doesn't kill it all the same day like it does with chemotherapy. It kills it over a long period of time. And in some cases, like with this one, you have to do it two or three applications. You've got to do it over two or three months. It takes about 6 weeks for each application to run its course. But you'll come out here with this running issue. So here in Leviticus 15, verses 1 through 16, it gives you the answer to that. And it's good for you because, see, if all of that dead, rotten flesh was on the inside of my body, it'd have to be disposed of through my liver, and it would tax my liver. It could kill me. But when you've got this running issue, okay, now, when I've got this running issue, I've got to be very careful with that. That's just like a woman with that menstrual fluid. This stuff is highly toxic. I mean, this isn't the kind of stuff that you want to dabble in and stick it behind your ears like perfume, girls. This is stuff that you want to dispose of. And so the rags that we use to soak it up, the bandages, we burn them. I mean, you know, you put that stuff in the fire and you burn it. In fact, it tells you that right there in the scripture. In fact, sometimes this will happen in a house. You know, we've got houses, and they get this black fungus, you know, growing in the walls. Yeah, it can get so bad that you have to burn the house down. And the recommended modality here in the Bible is to burn it. Bacteria and fungus and viruses, they have a hard time surviving fire. burn them up. So there's your running issue. Now, if you come down with one of these running issues, if you have cancer and if it's external, that's better if it's external than internal, because if it's external, it's draining on the outside. It isn't taxing your liver, isn't taxing your kidneys at all. But again, it's got to be handled intelligently. And now doctors, you know, they've got an agenda. They've got a way to handle this stuff. Cut it out. And then there's the natural holistic modality for this. The holistic modality that we get from the old physicians, the naturopaths, is let's let your body heal this. Let's let your immune system take care of this. Now, it's true. You got cancer. You broke a law. You got cancer. I did that. I broke a law, and I got cancer. And then I don't deny it. I'm a sinner. I'm a criminal. And then I had to pay the penalty. And it isn't pleasant. Let me tell you, when you come down with cancer, that is sobering. I mean, it is sobering. It doesn't have to be fatal. And in my case, it isn't fatal. I didn't die. Cancer's well under control. But now I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. I could have lived without that. Now for the rest of my life, I've got to be watching constantly. Every time I see a symptom, I've got to take care of it. The first 70 years, you know, I didn't need to worry about it. Now all of a sudden, now I've got to be real concerned about cancer. Well, okay, I did it to myself. Now I've got to pay the piper. Now let's take a look at land Sabbaths. Leviticus 25 verses 1 through 55. Now I'm a farmer. I practice land Sabbaths. When you buy from me, my produce has gone through the land Sabbath. I do this so that I can produce the highest quality seeds, the highest quality meat, milk, and produce for you. Because if I don't do that, then your corn is going to be deficient by 875% in copper and protein and manganese and iron and stuff like that. So we Americans now, we haven't been practicing land Sabbaths. And as a result of that, we've got disease and sickness. So let's understand where it comes from. It comes right out of your produce department in your grocery store. Hybridized seeds violates Leviticus 19:19. And violation of Leviticus 25 produces these nutritionally deficient foods. And therefore, we pay a piper. Sometimes it's cancer. Sometimes it's something else. Now, sanitation is important. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14, do you know it's important to get rid of your body waste? And, you know, there's a better way to do it than flushing it down the toilet and then flushing it down the Mississippi River for the people in St. Louis to drink. Yeah, honest to God, there's a better way to do that. And it's called bury it. Bury it. The body waste, your feces and urine, that should be buried. And then there's little creatures in the ground. You know, there's bacteria, nematodes, and all kinds of little funguses and things. And they're designed to break that down, make it harmless, and actually turn that into nutrients for plants. It's called night soil with human beings. Your human waste is called night soil. All right, now there is a section in here that deals with sex crimes. And if we look at Leviticus chapter 18, it lists about, oh, I don't know, probably 20, 30 sex crimes. I didn't number them. I guess I could do that one of these days. But these sex crimes, you know, it could be sodomy is a sex crime. And there's a disease that comes from it. They're called sexually transmitted diseases. It can produce gonorrhea, syphilis, venereal warts, AIDS, herpes. Now, to avoid all of these sexually transmitted diseases, Leviticus 18 was written for you and me and everybody else. And if you follow that law, you won't get sexually transmitted diseases. Now, there's a corollary law here. Sodomy is mentioned with specificity in Leviticus 18, verse 22, and Leviticus 20, verse 13. Also in Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18. The three statutes that deal with sodomy. And the reason behind that is disease. Nothing more, nothing less. Not every sodomite dies from AIDS, herpes, or VD, but on average, they die at age 45, unless they die from AIDS, in which case the average then goes down to 39. Now, the rest of us die at age 75. And so tuck that one away in your heart. Now, whores, W-H-O-R-E-S, those wonderful ladies of the night who operate mainly in places like Times Square, they're strictly prohibited, and in Leviticus 19, verses 29, Leviticus 21, verse 9, Deuteronomy 22, verses 13 through 21, it specifically prohibits the trade. We ought to outlaw it. We ought to banish it. We don't. We tax it. It's what we do. At least in Nevada, they got a place called Mustang Ranch there. They got more than one. It's not the only one, but the most famous one's called Mustang Ranch. That's where they tax the trade. Now, you know, whores, you know, nice people that they are. You know, some of my students have been prostitutes. They come through school here. And I hope they all repented, and they're all ex-prostitutes now. But, you know, they're out here doing things that transmit disease. So let's suppose some guy comes into a whore in Mustang Ranch and he's got AIDS. He transfers the AIDS to the woman. The woman then has other contacts with other men and she transmits that to other men. A whore is a vector for disease. That's just the way it is, ladies. I'm sorry to report that to you. And then finally, adultery. This adultery over here comes in many forms. I mean, typically adultery is sexual relations between married people. two married people that are not married to one another. And so it's you, Bob, and Joe's wife. Now, it is true that men can have 2, 3, 5, or 9 wives. Polygamy doesn't spread venereal disease, but adultery does. And females can only have sexual relations with one man at a time. Otherwise, it causes disease. And there's quite a few of these venereal diseases and sexually transmitted diseases that we'd all like to avoid, if it's at all possible. Now, I know sex is fun. I know adultery is great. I just sodomy I can't report on from firsthand experience. I don't have any, but the reports that I get is it's wonderful stuff, and everybody loves it. There's evidence by the fact that you've got so many of them. It's got to be good, otherwise they wouldn't do it. I mean, if it hurt, you know, they'd stop. So the fact that something feels good, smells good, tastes good, looks good, and is desirable doesn't mean that it's good for you. That's just where life's at. And sometimes it comes to cancer. Now, I covered the subject matter here. If cancer is a racket, the whole medical practice is a racket. There isn't any need for you to have any need for a doctor at all. If you'd practice these 18 health laws over here, you wouldn't get sick. And we teach school here, and in our school, we teach health and health laws. I don't know if that's for you or not. I'm not here to tell you that it is. Maybe national health care insurance is for you, in which case you want Barack Obama for president. I personally, I'm not opposed to Barack. He's probably a pretty nice guy. I do not want his health care insurance. I don't want it for me. And the thing that bothers me is that you are going to vote him into office, and then he's going to create that like they did with compulsory auto insurance, and you're going to force it on me whether I want it or not. That's what bothers me. You buying auto insurance doesn't bother me at all. You forcing it on me bothers me. That's the thing that's troubling. All of you evangelists out there that believe in auto insurance want to enforce it on me and everybody else. You believe in it, and you believe it's good. I don't deny that. That's what bothers me about this compulsory vaccination. You know, you people get to be evangelistic, and then you want me to participate in it. And that then causes me to get cancer or some other disease, and I'd like to avoid that racket. Cancer, boys and girls, is a racket. Yeah, I'm out of time again. I've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.